Dead Ringers, the election special.
Hello and welcome to Today with me, John Humphreys.
And me, Sue McGregor. So, after a weekend at times incoherent campaign, why is New Labour still 20 points ahead in the polls? Joining me in the radio car to discuss this is one of the party's most senior campaign coordinators.
Well, good morning, Sue. And good morning to all the listeners out there.
Obi-Wan, why is your message proving so persuasive when your campaign is such a mess?
No, you are mistaken, Sue. Our campaign has been going exceedingly well.
Yes, but surely the campaign has been going exceedingly well.
That's right. Because Tony Blair is in touch with the aspirations of real people.
Tony Blair is in touch with the aspirations of real people.
And everyone knows Robin Cook is extremely attractive to women.
Robin Cook, extremely attractive.
Watch out, Sue. He's using an old Jedi mind trick on you. Snap out of it.
Oh, no, you're right, John. Thank God you saved me in the nick of time. But how come you didn't succumb?
Because, Sue, before you came to Today, Jim Nocte and I were both trained in the ways of the Force by an old master named Yoda. He taught me how to look into myself, feel the Force, and use that power to interrupt people. And then he taught Jim Nocte how to ask a ridiculously lengthy question backwards.
Many splits over Europe in your party. Have you reconciled those differences? How can you? After hurry you, I will.
Anyway, now it's time for Thought for the Day, Episode 6, Return of the Rabbi.
Mr. President, I thought you'd want to know that in the British election, Tony Blair is way ahead in the polls.
Oh, that's a terrible shame. I'll make sure to send him my commiseratitudes.
No, Mr. President, that's good news. You see, in the British electoral system, the person that gets the most votes is declared the winner.
Look, never mind all that. I haven't got time to worry about whether Tony Bennett or William Tell is going to be the next Prime Minister of Denmark. I got problems closer to home. My little girl's been drinking. I've got half a mind. Send Jenner in.
Yes, sir, Mr. President.
You wanted to see me, Dad?
You're damn right I do, Jenna. I know all about your attempts to illegally purchase alcoholic beverages of an intoxicatory nature.
Well, Dad, I did not conductify myself in a manner as I was reporterized to have by arrestificatory officers.
Hey, I did not expect to raid any daughter of mine when incarcerated to start denunciifying herself in such a garbled and nonsensical way that the police are of the opinion and had chewed that you were inebrimatoxificated out of your...
Gee, I'm sorry, Dad. Can I apologify? I'll never embarrassitute you in public again.
Jenna, I'm glad you've managed to communify with me in such a refreshingly clear and intelligatory way.
Mr. President, imagine her behaving in such a stupid and irresponsible manner.
I just don't know where she gets it from.
BBC Radio 4. I'm Brian Perkins, the Lord of the Dance. The headlines again. Today's polls have hinted that at the last minute, a major new political force may come in from the outside and steal Mr. Blair's thunder. It's me, Brian Perkins. With my Radio 4 party, I've decided to stand for election. If Martin Bell can do it, so can I. I haven't got a white suit, though. Oh, no. Mine's made of hard black rubber. And it wouldn't be the first time I'd taken somebody's seat. I once pulled Peter Donaldson's away as he was sitting down. He wasn't pleased. You try keeping Charlotte Green amused with a bruised coccyx. If elected, I intend to install a PA system in every road in Britain, playing Radio 4 on a constant loop. Soon everyone will be dulled into a catatonic state, leaving me, Brian Scaramanga Perkins, to control the country from my secret island, accompanied by my evil henchman, Oddjob, which is just Melvin Bragg in a metal hat. So vote common sense. Vote Perkins.
How many times do I have to say this, Fionn? Of course you are an asset to my campaign. Anyone can see that you are a very beautiful woman. I love having you with me on the hustings, shaking everyone's hand. Even if I do get a tad jealous, they're getting further with you than I ever have. I have made myself very, very clear. I don't want you making any public statements.
And don't think I don't know the real reason why, William. I know why you don't want me being heard in public.
You do?
Of course I do. It's because I'm Welsh, isn't it, William? Come on, admit it. You can't pull the wool over my eyes.
Fionn, it has got nothing to do with you being Welsh.
All right. Then it must be because you think I'm not as politically astute as you are. I still say that idea of mine for a Sheffield rally was a top one, boyo.
Fionn, I'm just a little concerned that you might remind people of the Labour Party.
That's nonsense. I told you I never wear that red dress again.
Because of your voice, Fionn, don't you realise you sound uncannily like a party leader mocked and ridiculed for his?
That's ridiculous, William. I sound nothing like you.
Fionn, I'm not discussing it any further. No means no. You're not giving any speeches, and that is that.
I've had it up to here with you, William. I know someone will understand what I'm having to go through. I'm going to ring Sherry.
Ah, you do that.
Hello, Sherry, pet. It's Fionn. I had to ring. Do you know William's refusing point blank to let me speak during the campaign just because he thinks my voice will embarrass him?
I know exactly what you mean, Fionn. Tony's just the same with me. I tell you, it makes me not inconsiderably annoyed.
Good day. It's your old mate Rolf Harris here. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-dum. You see, all you need is a pencil and a little bit of imagination, and it's just incredible what you can do. Yeah, that's it. Just shade in a little more of the sunset there. Look at that. A real sort of outback bush scene, and a couple of little dingoes running along there. The old swag man in the back of the ute. Even a couple of flaming galahs off in the distance, like...
Mr. Harris, you've been in that polling booth nearly an hour.
Can you see who I'm voting for yet?
BBC Radio 4. I'm Charlotte Green. How do you eat yours? Coming up later, we have detailed up-to-the-minute analysis of today's campaigning for the 2001 general election. Whilst for those of you listening on Longwave, there'll be a party political broadcast by Clement Attlee. First, though, it's the Archers, where the inhabitants of Ambridge are struggling to come to grips with the Representation of the People's Act.
Joe, you know, Eddie, the strangest thing happened to me when I was up at Lower Loxley this morning. I was discussing seating plans for Peggy's do with Nigel, and quite inexplicably he shouts out, Liberal Democrats.
Well, that happened to me. I was out bush beating with William, and I asked him who'd win the cup this year, and he said Plaid Cymru.
Oh, Eddie, it's not their fault. Under BBC guidelines, if one party's mentioned, we've got to also mention the other party's fielding candidates. But the scriptwriters skillfully work it into our conversations.
They'd have to have quite some national front to subject the listeners to that. They must be monster raving loonies. Sid, could I have 2 points or best, a half of the National Party, and a vodka and Socialist Workers' Party, please?
And Joe wants a Jordan chaser.
I don't care if they're not real. She'll get more than just my vote.
Yes, and I found some wonderful new tenors for the Borchester Players. Sinn Féin and Scott Natts. Why has everyone gone silent? Out of relief. We've mentioned them all now. Let's just keep our fingers crossed no one else in this episode mentions another political party, or we'd have to start all over again. Oh, watch
Watch out, here comes Brian Aldridge.
I hate New Labour.
Oh, no.
You see, I, John Major, I've watched this election most scrupulously, and I cannot help but notice a pattern. Ted Heath accuses young Mr. Hague of incompetence. Margaret Thatcher defies her policy on the euro. Every previous Conservative leader has returned to haunt the party, except me. I need you to help me become the most terrifying ghoul of the lot. Mister, what did you say your name was?
My name is Gladiator.
Mr. Gladiator, that's right. I want to be a bowel-imploding, fearful, avenging demon, and thereby cause not inconsiderable consternation.
Have you worked upon the speech that I gave you?
Indeed, though with one or two adaptions. I am Johannes Magnus Mediocritus, husband to a bored wife, father to a blissfully exhausted son, and I will have some reasonable measure of compensation, either in this parliament or within a mutually agreed and fiscally prudent timescale to be determined in the short to medium term.
You display the cowardice of a Christian faced by a lion, or a Welshman faced by John Prescott.
Would I cause greater dismay in a toga?
I don't care. You are a lost cause. I must go now and steal someone's wife.
Well, let me tell you, Mr. Gladiator, that you're missing an afternoon tea of the highest order. Featuring tea cakes with my favourite spread. At my signal normal, unleash Nutella.
Hello?
Hello, may we speak to Mr. Blair, please?
Who's that?
Could we speak to Mr. Blair?
Who's calling?
Is that Mr. Blair?
Yes.
Oh, just a moment. We have a call from the Oval Office for you.
From where?
From the Oval Office. Just a moment.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Blair.
Yes? This is Lionel Blair.
Mr. Blair, it's President W. Bush. I just wanted to call personally and wish you well. Wish you well for the impending climaxification to your campaign.
Oh, thank you very much indeed. I'm hoping that I'm going to get through with a landslide. If not, a tap step will do.
A what?
A tap step.
A tap step?
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. You know, I could not think of a better way to celebrate a great victory than to have a real fine dance.
Absolutely. I think so, too, especially a line dance.
Well,
and John Prescott could do punch dancing.
Yeah, I think they might need Steve from the Jerry Springer Show just to keep him in line.
Listen, Dubya, how are your daughters?
Well, they're a little...
Are they still pissed?
That means something slightly different. They're a little inebriatified.
Inebriated, that's the word, yes.
They're totally inebriatified.
I know.
Mr. Blair, what might be your first methodology to improverate your United States of England?
To improve?
Yeah.
Between the United States and England? Well, I say live and let live. Let our people work there and your people work here. So there's no problems with permits.
I always thought Miss Piggy was really rough on him.
Oh, very.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're not listening very well.
I can see that we're going to be great allies, Mr. Blair.
I think so.
Well, let's stand shoulder to shoulder.
Let's do that. And we'll shuffle off to Buffalo together.
Oh, Mr. Blair, I've always very much admired your style and the style of your opposition.
Oh, yes. Listen, Eunice Stubbs was always wonderful.
Yeah. Mr. Blair, this is wonderful, but it's kind of getting a bit weird now.
Now, I'm talking to you, George.
Goodbye, Mr. Blair.
Bye-bye, then.
All the best for your campaign,
bye, then,
Mr. Blair.
Bye.
Goodbye.
And now, in its fifth record-breaking month at the Theatre Royal Barnstaple, Jack and the Beanstalk, starring John Sabadent as Mother and Frank Bruno as Jack.
I say, Jack. Jack, we're so poor that we're going to have to take our one and only couch at market and sell her. Thanks to that evil Bernard up and his outrageous rent demands.
Yeah, really, Mother.
Yeah, and you don't think it's because of Gordon Brown and his punitive stealth taxes imposed on us by the Blairite government?
I say I don't. Now, you must haste away now and sell that cow, but just mind to make sure you don't get swindled.
Yeah, yeah. That is right, Mother. Swindled into re-electing a socialist rabble that promised us better schools, hospitals and public services, but has so clearly failed to deliver.
I say, Frank, what are you playing at?
What do you think, yeah? There's an election on and I need to show my credentials as a good Tory, yeah? Children, where are Britain's best days if New Labour is returned to power?
I say, for God's sake, Bruno, just stick to script.
Yeah, I'm sorry, John, you're right. Yeah, I don't know what come over me. Oh, my goodness, watch out, Mother. Climbing down the beanstalk is the giant with his enormous girth and his huge fists.
Yes, and can I just say, Jack, in relation to fee, and if I could just add fee and wearers in full form, and in relation to smelling the blood of an Englishman, and I think you'll find the Golden Harp agrees with me on this one. And whether he be alive or he be dead, I am committed within the next 5 years to grind his bones to make my bread and not
yeah,
to...
Yeah, quickly, Mother, quickly, get the eggs from under the golden goose and chuck him at him. All right, they might be his weak point, you know what I mean?
Ladies of Middle England, gather up your doilies and listen to me. Hyacinth Bouquet, the scum-baking Buddha of suburbia. Now pay attention because I'm going to give you a history lesson. 80 years ago, Emily Pankhurst and her suffragette movement chained themselves to fences to give you the right to vote. They didn't just sit there doing nothing. Well, actually, of course, they did because they were chained to a fence and couldn't really move. You see my point? They chain themselves up so we don't have to. And that's just as well, because as far as I'm concerned, chains are for dogs and perverts. Quite often at the same time. You know, the suffragettes achieved something, and thanks to them, we no longer have to burn our bras. And a good thing, too, because I get vexed if I so much as singe a shortbread finger. But if I do have one complaint, it's this. Why, oh why, when we vote, can't we have quilted ballot paper instead of that flimsy coarse rubbish? I don't want my finger popping through when I'm crossing my box. I won't have it, right, I must dash. I've pastry and it won't cut itself into shapes, will it? Cheerio!
You know, I can't believe it. It's June the 8th and here I am. Back on the doorstep of number 10, Barbara's bags, nervous tick, receding mandate. I just can't wait to get inside. Frankly, after 4 weeks of press conferences with Brown, Cook, Gus MacDonald, it'll be a relief not to hear any more whining Scottish voices for a few hours.
Hello, I'm Carol Smiley. The patron saint of Prozac, welcoming you to changing rooms.
My God, what the hell have you done to number 10? Angry stare, pointy finger.
Well, that's a good question. Linda Barker, what have we done? Well, Carol, we started by getting rid of all that democracy that was cluttering up the country and replacing it with our very own totalitarian regime. First, we took that wall over there, colour-washed it purple, and then put everyone up against it and had them permanently disenfranchised, which General Pinochet had told us would be really, really effective.
My God, there's tanks parked all over the lawn. Now, I'm really going to have some serious words with Ewan about his drinking. Modern parent, private school, denim shirt.
No, there are tanks, Tony, which Handy Andy constructed from some leftover MDF, plasterboard sheeting and some fiberglass plyboard. And they'll be really, really effective in breaking up any pro-democracy protests. Absolutely, Linda. Look, Tony, here comes the flamboyant genius who masterminded the whole coup.
My God, just look at him. A turquoise leopard print camouflage skin-tight leather trouser with ethnic print fringing and a Moroccan fez. Could only be one man, Lawrence Llewellyn Byrne.
No, it's me, Peter Mandelson. Mochaccinos, avocados, balaclavas, and lots of constituency work. And we've done some pretty impressive work with the rest of the house. So I want you two to go into the library and shut your eyes tight. And don't open them until you hear a lot of footsteps and I say the word.
And that word is aim, then fire. Good night.
You're listening to Today with Sue McGregor and the Grumpy Welshman. It's just coming up to 7:45, so in a moment, more news, but first, something trivial and light-hearted. A survey has revealed that young voters would like to see Ali G as Prime Minister. He joins me now from our Punani car. Good morning, Mr. G.
Buyakasha. Good morning to you. Sue, and may me say what a pleasure it is to be talking to you. Me not listen to Radio 4 as listening to Coxie, but in me head, Sue, you was looking like Cat Dealey.
Yes, yes, I do. Now, you're very popular amongst the young. Would you take on the role of Prime Minister if it was offered to you?
Me understand what you were saying, Sue, but you see, if I was the PM thing and I was bigging it up in number 10, me would have to give up me Julie and start boning Sherry Blair, aye? She's gonna be needing that wide mouth, you know I say.
Right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. As we've run out of the time we always allocate to frothy whimsy. So, over to John for a proper story.
Thank you very much, Sue. Is it because I is black?
Boya Kasha.
Respect.
Hello?
Oh, hello. Is that Madame Marie, the
psychic? It is, yes.
Psychic? You're the psychic lady?
I am.
Oh, wonderful. I just wondered if you might be able to just shed a bit of light on my immediate future, please.
Well, I'm sorry, but I don't do telephone readings anyway.
Well, it's just a question of time, really. I'm just sort of busy on the campaign trail at the moment and with the election.
What, are you an MP?
Yes, I'm actually the leader of the Conservative Party. And it's just been a bit of a...
William Hague?
Yes, indeed.
Are you joking?
No. Do you think we're going to win?
What can I say to you? It's very difficult to know how to reply to you.
I mean, you know, no, I can take it. I'm a strong Yorkshire lad. You know, just...
Oh, I'm really sorry. Well, of course I think you're going to lose, and I'm sorry that you are, but of course you are going to lose.
Really?
Yes. You haven't thought of that possibility.
But you can't sense a surprise. You can't sense that we are going to burst Tony Blair's bubble at the last moment.
Not this time.
Really?
I don't think you're using the right pin.
Hello. Ever since I, Charles Kennedy, became leader, I've been written off by many in the media as Game Show Charlie, a man obsessed with appearing on game shows the whole time. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. Give me just a minute of your time. I may not be Brain of Britain, but if you call my bluff, I'll solve that conundrum for you. In the countdown to election 2001, I firmly believe I've a better than 15-1 chance of being your next Prime Minister. You may have to pay a penny more on income tax, but let's face it, who wants to be a millionaire? As I've run around this country, it's been a dog-eat-dog campaign. I've often been speaking to voters till 3:21 in the morning. If we play our cards right, well, have I got news for you voters? They think it's all over, but they're wrong. We in the Liberal Democrats are not going to be consigned to the dusty bin of history. Did I do okay, Mammy?
I was sharing a pot of Earl Grey with Dora Hurd just the other day, after attending a local candidate's rally, when a man came on the wireless predicting a record low turnout at the general election. Alan, if only they knew how much we had to fight for, things that people now take for granted, Thora spluttered, spraying me with marzipan. Then these people wouldn't behave in such an apathetic way. I nodded, and my mind was cast back to a warm evening in 1999, when me, Thora, Peter Salis, and Mr. Pettiforth from Number 42 set out for London to join a now infamous day of protest. We started marching from Wakefield, where we were cheered off by thousands. It took us 2 months, but we finally made it to Wakefield coach station, where we boarded a National Express to take us the rest of the way. Joining the street protests, Thora and I devastated a local branch of McDonald's. Not for any particular reason. We were just disappointed to discover they didn't do cream teas. Meanwhile, egged on by his fellow anarchists, Peter Salis was ripping off a railing and smashing it into the front window of Dixon's, changing all the televisions on display to BBC One for Last of the Summer Wine. High on a heady cocktail of Earl Grey and sponge fingers, we headed for Parliament Square, where Thora climbed atop Winston Churchill's statue, using nothing but sheer pluck and a strategically placed Stanner stairlift. Thora proceeded to shock everyone by dressing Churchill in a hand-knitted bed jacket, cardigan and carpet slippers. Eventually, Thora was granted an audience with Tony Blair, who said he'd reluctantly acquiesced to her demands for the end of global capitalism and for the creation of a socialist utopia in Great Britain. Which was news to Thora, as all she was demanding was macaroons with two flavours of jam inside. So as I look across at Thora, triumphantly cramming an apricot and strawberry macaroon into her face, while planning next year's protests, demanding free whippets on the NHS, I say to those people who aren't planning to vote, there's nothing you can't achieve if you're willing to engage in the democratic process. I know we have.
Good afternoon, Electoral Services.
Oh, the Electoral Services?
Hello.
Oh, hello. I wondered if you could help me. I am the doctor. I travel through space and time. I'm not going to be able to vote on polling day, so I wondered if there were other methods I could adopt to cast my vote.
Well, there were, but it's too late now, I'm afraid.
Tell me which point I need to go back in time to and I'll do that.
Well, you need to apply to vote by postal by proxy by
All
the
right.
30th of May, 6 working days before the election.
30th of May, what year?
2001.
2001. Oh, right. Yes, yes, of course. Sorry, sorry. I'm just sometime in the future here. Well, would it be possible to send one of my former selves to vote? Would that be possible?
Well, I can only go into what is actually feasible. And,
yes. It might be possible for me to relocate one of my former selves from their time stream. And use the time scoop to bring them forward, and they could vote for me in the 2001 election.
Whatever, yeah.
Good. Might it also be possible to send my vote superlucently through the interstitial vortices?
Don't think that's possible, no.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Culshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry and Kevin Conley. It was written by Tom Jameson and Neff Fountain. John Holmes, Lawrence Howarth, John Culshaw and Dave Cohen. The title music was by John Whitehall. It was devised by Bill Dare. The producer is Mario Steely Andes.